Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, and today we're going to combine it with body power. Yes, your health is absolutely it's so important. I can't stress it enough. If you have gone through illnesses, you know how debilitating it can be. If you're a person that is struggling with weight challenges, you know that this is something that's not fun. And in our world today, we're realizing as consumers that we need to take responsibility for our own wellness and being able to enjoy life in a richer way because of having good health. My guest today, because our topic is powering up your health, my guest today is Dr. Warren Wiley, and we're going to be discussing some things regarding weight, health, and some tricks that can be utilized to enable you to satisfy that sweet craving maybe that you have, and also some tips on how you can keep yourself in optimal strength, stamina, and wellness. Dr. Warren Wiley, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate you having me.
Now, you're a medical director, and you deal with people that have weight problems, and you also deal with people just on the basics of needs on everyday life and the various conditions that people will have. You are a primary care physician as well, and you have a very strong positioning about preventative medical intervention. And I'm of the same mindset as also Danny Torres, who has enabled me to become aware of you. And I really appreciate and respect people in the medical profession that don't keep their heads in the sand as far as making patients aware or people aware that they do have to take the responsibility. There's no magic whatever that's going to keep you in good health. What was your drive towards becoming a physician? Why is it that you opted to make this your life choice?
Oh, I appreciate that question, Donna, but I hope you have more than an hour. I can really go off on this one. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm just teasing. You know what? I was very sickly as a child, Donna. I grew up at National Jewish Asthma Center in Denver. Very, very sickly, and I was on about 14 drugs by the age of 11, and
yeah.
just in bad shape. I weighed a whopping 80 pounds. My dad used to tell the story of tying a string around my toe during windy days in Colorado, because I'd definitely have been out of there, wound up in Nebraska somewhere. So just being sickly and understanding, my dad bought me a subscription to Muscle and Fitness at the time, and because I was so thin, I wanted to be stronger, bigger. He bought a weight set, just the old sand-filled rubber weights, and taught me how to exercise. I started reading those books cover to cover and just started understanding, you know what, this, even my own symptoms with asthma may have a lot to do with my overall health, what I'm eating, what I'm doing. Well, long story short, by the time I was 14, I was on no drugs. I avoided all processed foods. If it didn't grow in our garden or if it didn't come from the neighbor's farm, I really didn't eat it too much. And that was just a life journey, starting to my journey of understanding, boy, we really do have power in what we do. It could be argued that I outgrew asthma and whatnot, but I can still to this day, Don, if I eat processed foods, if I eat a lot of simple carbohydrates, sugars, breads, whatnot, I have to go find an inhaler because my lungs lock up. So the connection between our lifestyle and disease states we see, particularly in Western medicine, hit me at a very early age. And then going through the whole journey of college and medical school, graduate school, then medical school, I started understanding, boy, a lot of these Western pathologies, the things we deal with daily, from obesity, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, asthma, sleep apnea, I mean, the list goes on and on. we were trained to treat conditions, not causes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to change my practice about 15 years ago and go after causes. Let me give people the power to do this themselves without my prescription pad.
So, I think that more and more information is coming out regarding this. And when I think of the dedication it takes to go through medical school, I remember having an interest in doing that myself and a teacher sitting me down after one of my classes when I was in junior high, and he said, Donna, are you aware it's 16 years of education before you're really going to even be able to call yourself if you wanted to be a doctor? And in my young mind, I thought, 16 years, that's a long time. And the truth is, a physician never stops learning, ever.
No,
nobody ever does.
I
don't care who you are. I'm always learning something new every single day.
Yeah.
And I think that because people like yourself, Dr. Wiley, their eyes have been opened. And let's face it, a lot of doctors out there today, if you were to look at them and they're giving advice, you'd say, you don't seem to be taking the advice. But you do. You do what you tell your patients to do. You are very cognizant and for good reason. And I'm sure that has an impact on people because you're not coming from a stereotyped position. And you can say, look, this is what's happened to me. This is what I have to do for me. I want you to do this for yourself. Now, I want to ask you a question because as a doctor, you are a family physician, you deal with people from all walks of life, all kinds of working environments, and deal with all kinds of stresses. With you, how do you manage, because I'm sure your schedule is quite hectic, how do you manage your food patterning? Now, you developed your own attitudes quite young. If it's not real, if it's not fresh, then you don't want to eat it. And
right.
This came because of how you fed your mind with knowledge, and then you were feeding your body accordingly. How do you work with people to help them make a shift? Because a lot of it is mental. A lot of it is what you've grown up with, what you have been adapted with. I was listening to something about corn. Now, this was something that just blew me away. Just last night, it was about the people of Machu Picchu that have been gone for a long, long time. But when they excavated skeletons, these people had been eating corn. And they said they found that it actually caused high amounts of corn. That was one of their primary foods. That's what they could grow. So they had a lot of dental disease. They had effects on the bone structure because of it. And I was listening to this, and I thought, my goodness, look at what we're talking about today. In a lot of your health magazines, the high fructose corn syrup and other things. Let's go into that a little bit.
Sure. You know, I think the first thing you have to do is meet people where they're at. Help them understand that there's some simple lifestyle changes they could adapt. And not the all or nothing philosophy that we tend to read in the health books or on the health TV shows, whatnot, where people say, change everything, drop everything you're doing and do this plan. Or do this plan. That is very difficult for people, and that's why we have such a high failure rate. What I've found works the best is meet people where they're at, show them some simple lifestyle changes. For example, the National Weight Control Registry has shown that people who eat breakfast do very well with long-term weight loss maintenance. So if we can incorporate a healthy breakfast with good protein in it, we'll do that. Help their change their snacking ideas. Get off the high fructose corn syrup and pop. Switch it to water, add some of Danny's, who we talked about earlier, protein muscle snack time, just little protein
right.
tablets that you can use to help satiate your hunger. Protein, if I can side note here, protein is the most powerful suppressor of appetite we have naturally. As a matter of fact, the American College of Bariatric Surgeons changed their name recently to add the word metabolic into their surgical titles, because when they do gastric bypasses, part of the effect of that is it changes a hormone called ghrelin, which is what I call the road rage hormone. When you're extremely hungry, someone's going to die unless you eat that hormone. When they do gastric bypasses, they remove the part of the colon that releases that. Well, protein does the same thing. Protein suppresses that hunger. Protein also changes something called the mu receptors in the intestines, which are related to the same mu receptors, opioid receptors in your brain. So by eating protein at every meal and using a protein muscle snack time like Danny's product, it's just an absolute amazing thing to suppress your appetite. So helping people with these simple steps, not eating before they go to bed, eat more frequently if their schedule allows, or help them to understand their schedule. And most importantly, Donna, I think it's planning ahead. The old saying, if you fail to plan, plan to fail. And what we try to do in our practice, when people come to us, we sit down, and one of the first things we do is review their schedule. Give me your schedule for the week. What time do you wake up? What time do you take the kids to school? What time do you have to be at work? What do you do for lunch? How many breaks do you have? What time do you pick the kids up? What time do you take Johnny to soccer? What time do you make dinner? We go through their schedule and help them understand, okay, this is the way you can incorporate healthy eating into your schedule. Again, trying to meet them where they're at and show them simple little lifestyle changes that work here and there. As they progress in the health process by doing that, they feel better. They have more energy. They're sleeping more. Sex life gets better. I mean, just their waist is changing. Their clothes are getting looser. Now they become more conscious and more aware, and then they want to take the bigger steps. Mm-hmm. And the neat thing about approaching it that way is it's not only very successful for initial weight loss and health attainment, but it's an amazingly powerful factor in health attainment and maintenance, and weight loss maintenance. And that's the secret, because honestly, Donna, every diet out there works for weight loss. Everyone. I could name 100 for you right now, and I could show you at least one or two people that I've met personally that diet worked for weight loss.
Right.
But what you have to ask is, did you maintain it? Were you able to maintain that degree of health after you lost the weight? And by approaching people on a very slow, stepwise process, making subtle lifestyle changes until they get the itch, the hook, until you got them into that healthy process, and then they take off on their own, it just really is a neat process to watch people go through that.
I think it is, and I think one of the factors that people get very, very irritated with is the idea after a while, how is it that I'm going to be able to keep up a certain formula? I have a very good friend, and she and her husband decided to cut sugar out, period. Both of them had alcoholic backgrounds, and so she said alcohol is a sugar, and this is something that we know that's not good for us. And she ended up trimming off 30 pounds, and so did her husband, and they just were feeling great. But she said, a little by little, we started incorporating bread. I mean, they got rid of anything other than fruit. They didn't have bread. They didn't have rice. They didn't have any kind of potatoes. This type of a severe diet, and I saw her a few months ago, and I said, my goodness, look at what you accomplished. This is marvelous. She said, oh, yeah, but it didn't stay off because we started incorporating certain things back into our diet, not so much the cookies, but we were having potatoes. We were having this, that, or the other. And so many people are on, let's say, a budget. Mm-hmm. And eggs have been so maligned, which I've never believed that nonsense, because I think they're one of the most powerful protein supplements that you can have. And I was thrilled when I found out about Danny's development with his snack time, and I've done some experiments with it. I said, okay, I've got this, that, or the other. Let me just take a few of these, see what happens. And it amazed me, because of its high protein content. Danny told me 5 of these tablets was equivalent to 1 egg in protein value. And I go, that's really very interesting, because I know if I don't have protein, I am not in good shape.
Right.
This is just, it's just my nature, and I was told this a long time ago by a doctor. He said, you've got a patterning, it's genetic. He said, it's hypoglycemic, you just need to remember, have small meals. He said, that's the reason you've had a problem with your weight all your life, and I'm not what would be considered obese, but it's very easy for me to gain weight quickly if I incorporate, let's say, bread on a regular basis in my diet. And it's frustrating. How would you address this with someone? I mean, here's my friend. They lost 30 pounds. They were able to stay with the regimen, but it didn't stay off. What would you say to someone like that? Says, yeah, I've been successful with this, but I do like having my bread or potato once in a while. What would you say to someone?
That's an excellent question. first and foremost, I love to tell people that there's no such thing as a bad food. There's just bad diets.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is the second you outlaw a food in your mind or in your dietary plan, that food's going to be tapping at your back of your head just like a pesky water drop until you give in. There's been plenty of studies of the addictive processes of food. The problem with it's been, you know, if someone's addicted to methamphetamine, we can tell them stop methamphetamine, but you can't tell people to stop food.
Right.
So what we try to do is back to that scheduling. What is your schedule? How do you do this? And to sum up my dietary intervention, I could say, let me teach you how often you can cheat. So let's find for your body, you individually and your family, how many times a week can you, quote unquote, get away with bread? And so you plan, you schedule a free day, a free meal, whatnot. Just absolutely a brilliant concept brought to us by the bodybuilding world, which Danny's involved a lot with this protein muscle snack time, and help us and help people incorporate that into their lives. And I'll give you the best example I can, Donna. My own family, Monday through Friday, we eat very, very clean, very, very clean. We know exactly what we're having. On most Sundays, we make our food for the week. All of my three of my little kids, 11, 8, and 7, and my lovely wife, we really plan ahead for the week. But then when the weekend comes, if the kids want to have pizza, if my wife wants to go to a nice restaurant and eat, you know, five loaves of bread before dinner gets there, that's okay, because we know in our health and our family, by tracking both subjective and objective measures, that we can get away with that. Now, I still may have to take my inhaler after I eat half of those five loaves, because, but that's part of doing this, is just you understand the consequences of your actions, then you truly have a choice. Whereas if you don't understand those, you don't really have a choice. You'll give in to the addictive properties of those foods. And so what we do in my practice, if I use that as an example, is we follow so many subjective measures. Every time someone comes in, they fill out a 12-point Likert scale questionnaire, and it's purely subjective. Objectively, we follow things more than the scale, because the scale is an evil, evil thing. It can change with the barometric pressure, as we all know. We follow lean mass to fat mass. We follow grip strength. We follow waist circumference, heart rate recovery, even biomarkers in people's blood to see how they're changing. Hormones called leptin and adiponectin, which are directly related to fat, total caloric, and carb consumption. We follow all these objective measures to say, okay, Mrs. Jones, you're doing wonderful on your diet. Let's incorporate a free meal in a week and see how you do. So in the big picture, your good friends here, if they had someone to work with to say, yeah, I can get away with bread and potatoes twice a week and still maintain my health, that's what we should all be after, is find someone to help you subjectively, objectively monitor what you're doing so you too can maintain health, maintain your weight, yet still enjoy life.
Now, this is something that I really think is important, that you've just touched on it. And it is the markers in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not know of many doctors that would even know how to approach this. And it's a whole different level of understanding. You can have someone that can follow a certain food protocol, and it doesn't do a thing for them.
Right.
And
right.
You can have someone else go on that protocol. It's fabulous. And I remember reading about this in one of Joe Weider's magazines years ago, especially with bodybuilding. And I've said this to many people, the bodybuilding industry is far ahead of a lot of the mainstream medical understanding about nutrition.
Yes.
Because they have gone a scientific route. And I was fascinated, and this is a number of years ago, and it never did. And I think it's just beginning to be understood, because now we have books out on dieting according to your blood type and this type of thing. But even that is limited to a degree, because it has to be more sophisticated. But they talked about bodybuilders, and they gave two examples. One was a guy, he was wanting to build his body. He wasn't taking steroids. And he just couldn't get those muscles to expand, which we know is very important in the professional arena. Well, they did the blood tests on him and said, you've got to have a lot more protein. You can't have a lot of carbohydrate, and this is why. So he shifted his diet. His muscles are responding. He's doing the workouts. someone else came in and they did the blood type. They said, you can't have a whole bunch of protein. Your muscle, your blood, your everything's just not going to respond well. So change and add more carbohydrates. Wouldn't it be great if we could individually have this? And I believe that's going to be one of the leading sciences coming up. And, of course, we change as we get older. When you're younger, you have different needs. And as you get older, you have different needs, and your digestive system changes in the way that it absorbs nutrients. But this is something that I think is invaluable, and I think it's important that you're doing this because that helps you to see the metabolic process of that individual that you're working with.
Absolutely. Yes, in the ideal world, every wonderful person out there trying to obtain or maintain health could look at their own blood and say, okay, this is what I need to do. Because you're right, Donna, we do have that technology. I can look at the way people's liver is breaking down cholesterol and then using something called an apolipoprotein E genotype, so their actual genetic makeup. And I can tell you, you need to be a higher carb, lower fat person, or you need to be a low fat, high carb person. It's absolutely amazing how we do that. And then following hormonal markers like leptin and adiponectin, vitamin levels, other hormones, sex hormones, thyroid hormones, how the body changes with the changing weight. Absolutely incredible. You can really dial people into their own individual health by using this new technology. And you're so right. It is so unknown. I did a lecture on it 2 years ago, April, in Denver to the American Society of Bariatric Physicians using a marker called SDLDL to determine if someone should be high carb or high fat. And the whole audience just had their jaws on the floor. They had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's becoming more and more prevalent to really help people dial in. And the neat thing is, Donna, the blood work, if you have the right questions, the blood work just confirms what you already knew. If you have a wonderful person sitting in front of you and they say, man, I crave sugars at night. I'm just craving them all the time. I feel so good after I eat them. Then I crash. They're someone I could almost guarantee that if I looked at their blood, they would be someone that needs to be higher fat, lower carb,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. Someone who says, when I eat carbs, I feel good, and I eat fat, I feel a little lethargic and tired, and I, you know, after the big steak dinner, I just can't move as much. They're probably someone that needs to be lower fat, higher carb. It's really neat how you can correlate, and this is the way most doctors look at blood, I hope, is we use labs and studies to confirm what we are already thinking, not
mm-hmm.
to direct our thinking. So good people listening out there who don't have access to those blood tests, use those simple little cues, and you will know right now, okay, you're probably someone that will respond to an Atkins diet, or no, you'll probably respond to someone like an ADA diet, higher carb diet. And then by fine-tuning that yourself, you understand, like your good friends, yes, it helped with weight loss to cut out all forms of carbohydrates, but that wasn't maintainable for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might have been someone that would have been great with a similar eating program to my family's. Monday through Friday, do no carbs. Saturday and Sunday, enjoy yourself and get back on that bandwagon. Just stay on it. And there's some neat studies out there, Donna, that show when people schedule their eating and they plan to take a break from their dietary regimen, they much quicker and much easier get back on that bandwagon versus someone who struggles and struggles and struggles and struggles to diet, and then they fall off the bandwagon, they will not get back on it. It's
mm-hmm.
over. So that, again, if you fail to plan to fail, and really schedule your eating to your schedule is probably the first and foremost thing in maintaining and obtaining health and weight loss.
And something that I think is very important, and again, I have been very intrigued with Danny's Amino Muscle Snack Time tablets, because when I was testing it, and I have a friend who's doing it too, because I had gotten some samples, and I said, hey, you know, check this out. And he's got them for vegans, which mm-hmm. is very important, because
absolutely.
I have more than one friend that is a vegetarian or a vegan, and they are suffering from malnutrition. And that's something that I know in future chats that we're going to have, I really want to address that. But there's such a discrepancy in understanding, one, that food should be something enjoyed. Wellness should be a natural state in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And You also have on your website, drwiley.com, and that's W-I-L-L-E-Y.com, you've got a video. You've got more than one video, really. People can go into your website. You've got all kinds of information, all kinds of details that are available, and there's a video regarding the amino acid snack time that you put together. And I think that we really need to understand that the body requires so many different components. There is no magic bullet, no magic pill. And if you go extreme with anything, you're going to pay a price. And I was on the phone with someone that I've known for years. This is a lady that was sort of like a little butterball, petite. And then she went on an all-fruit kind of a situation, and she dropped a lot of weight, and she doesn't want to eat. Now, she's an older lady, and she had a bad fall a month ago. I just learned about this. And she shattered her hip. So she's in the hospital. And I was having a conversation with her. I said, my dear, you have to add vitamins. She hadn't seen a doctor for 40 years. So here she is. She's in her middle 70s. She's had this fall. She's very extreme with her food because once she dropped all this weight, she didn't want to put weight on.
Right.
Once in a while, she'll have something. But her bones have become very fragile. She should not have had that situation occur, yet it did. And so I'm finding that I'm trying to chat with her, and she's going, oh, well, this is it. We have a fixation in this country, especially with women, where they think, if I don't eat, that's a good thing. It is not good. You need nourishment. You can have strong bones when you're 150.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You are so right. When we people ask how we write eating programs for people, what do we take in mind? And obviously, using their individual factors, we start with, what is your protein requirement? And I, too, Donna, have a number of wonderful friends that are strict vegans, ovo-lacto-vegetarians, all sizes, shapes, and levels. And helping them obtain the proper amount of protein is difficult. And that's why something like Danny's protein muscle snack time is just wonderful, because it is for vegans. And it does supply an adequate amount of protein to help suppress the appetite, keep the bones strong. Plenty of good studies on people that are exercising with adequate protein having much stronger bones than people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
And just a whole interplay of the importance of protein in your immune system and your ability to heal wounds, even her fracture. She would greatly improve her healing of her fracture, or if she, I'm assuming she had surgery, her surgical scars, if protein was adequate in her diet. And something like Danny's protein muscle snack time is exactly a way to simply fit that in any situation, quick and easy, and still enjoy something, because they taste pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so,
they
yes,
do.
I could not agree more. Just looking at the big picture and helping people get that adequate protein, not only for their weight goals, because it does help so much with keeping the appetite in under wrangled, but just the importance in your health. Protein absolutely has to be adequate, and it's just not in our country.
It isn't, and it has been downplayed all too much, because
yes, ma'am,
the body cannot manufacture protein. You have to ingest it.
Yes.
And I don't care where you look at in the world. There are so many cultures throughout the world. People will expound on certain things and say, oh, isn't this great? And I say, yeah, but do you realize the average lifespan of people is 30 years of age in that part of the world?
Right.
Do you realize the history of the human race, including here in the United States? The average lifestyle, and it wasn't that long ago, I know with my grandfather, men were not expected to live past 55 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they made a mandatory retirement at 55, because most men were dead by the time they were 60.
Mm-hmm.
So what has changed? Better lifestyle, better sanitation. However, we have gone into a wacky mode. And we'll just have to pick up on this, Dr. Wiley, another time. I really have enjoyed our conversation. This has just been great. And for those of you listening, I really would encourage you, number one, to go to Dr. Wiley's website to find out more, because he deals with these issues on a daily basis. DrWiley.com. Also, you'll find information there about the amino muscle snack time. And if you have people in your family that are older, they don't want to eat very much, this is something, it's chewable, I'm using it, it's great stuff, but it's handy. You can carry this. Gals, you can carry this in your purse, and if you get hungry, munch out. Nothing to speak of relative to calories, but it's giving your body some nutrition that it needs. Dr. Wiley, oh, and you can get that on Amazon.com. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna. What a pleasure talking with you.
Well, it has been a joy, and we'll be chatting again, and I look forward to it because I've got some more questions for you.
Oh, you call or email me anytime, my dear. I really appreciate you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. We've been talking with Dr. Wiley. Check out his website, drwiley.com. You'll find so much information there. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have more good things to share with you today. Don't go away.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I get so excited when I have a chance to talk with people, which I do every day on this show, who have backgrounds and experiences and can bring us up to date with what we need to do for ourselves and how we can make our lives better. And this, to me, is significant. There's not one size that fits all for anyone. And that is what my joy has been. My show has been on for 12 years, and I have just grown so much as a person, and I like to think that for those of you who are listening, you may get a new idea or a new piece of information that you can add to your own particular stockpile of wisdom, and maybe even pass it along to someone. I think communication, integration, sharing is so important because we never know how someone is going to be impacted. And I think of this, I think of the people that have crossed paths with me in my life. Sometimes I've met a person just once. Has that ever happened to you? A perfect stranger has popped up in your life. Maybe you have had a need, a question about something, and all of a sudden you're either overhearing a conversation or in the course of a conversation with someone, information pops out. And you're just sitting there thinking, gee, I wish I'd known this 2 years ago or a year ago, or wow, I'm thinking about this, I wonder, and all of a sudden, someone comes up with information. This is, to me, the wonder of communication. This is what I enjoy doing with my newsletter, just communicating and sharing. And it's something that makes a difference. And I don't know about you, but there is so much confusion out there. We have people that go around telling us think that they know more of what's best for us than we do. Don't you just love that kind of person? Mm-hmm. So when you can have options, I'm thinking of stuff that's come up just recently in the SIBO household regarding insurance. And by the time we get through reading all of the material, I looked at my husband, and my husband looked at me, and I said, did you understand half of what was in front of you? Uh-uh. And my husband is really a whiz when it comes to dealing with details. I'm more of a generalist, and I just go, this is like muck. It doesn't make sense. It's absolutely all of this lawyer jargon, no clarity. How can people... I'm a mature woman. My husband's, a mature individual. I think, how can a young family figure this stuff out? Well, we've got someone that's going to be coming on the show at the end of the month that's going to be able to give us some information about that. But I really, really feel that when we can communicate, pick up the telephone and call, ask somebody questions, email them, open your mouth and ask questions, because that's the only way. The only way you're going to be able to explore what options you might have. And you may come across a lot of people that have their own paradigms and their own opinions, and it doesn't fit with you. That's okay. That's not bad. At least you're exploring. And one of the resources I encourage you to use is the library. And the reason I encourage you to use the library is because you've got a whole bunch of options. And if ever you look at all of the stuff that's in there and you go, oh my goodness, how am I going to figure out what to do? Just start with someplace. Start with a video. Start with a book. And don't be afraid to diversify. Don't be afraid to step into a world of information that you've never explored before. Life is about reaching and stretching. And God knows we have got so much of that that's going on in our lives right now. And when it comes to your health, you need to have integrity with yourself. You need to be honest about your own body and your own needs. And I really think we are so fortunate in today's world. So we've got some wonderful people coming up, which, by the way, I want to mention to you, tomorrow we're going to be talking about how science and spirituality have a lot more in common than you think. We're going to be traveling to Spain. Dennis Kingsley is going to be my guest. He's compiled a series of essays by some of the leading researchers and scientists in the world, professionals in the area of medicine and otherwise, who are saying, we are in this shift, it's a big one, and this is what I think about it. So we're going to be talking with Dennis Kingsley. It's really going to be a joy. Now, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Yes, phone lines are open. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, have you ever heard about rat kings? I hadn't. We've all heard tales where maybe rats were a feature of the story. Animals, the animal kingdom, has always been used in some form in mythical fairy tales to convey points. And this occurred in Germany. Now, rats often have been associated, especially with the plague, when it is something that we still have a lot of misinformation about the critters, but they are, one, prolific breeders, and two, exceedingly intelligent and adaptable creatures, because we have to deal with them no matter where we are. We're going to step back into the 1700s for this particular bit of information about the rodents of the past, and this occurred on July 13 in Germany. Now, there were 18 live rats. And their tails had been tied together. Now, these 18 rats fell out from between two stones beneath the cogwheels of a particular mill. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't, bear a very exciting picture, but that's what happened. Now, the rodents with the intertwined tails that formed into one central knot are referred to as rat kings. That's what they were called. And it's sort of like another adaptation of a term that was used, rat wheel. And they said this particular phenomena was observed to happen only with black rats. In 1774, at another mill near Leipzig, there was a person by the name of Christian Kaiser who discovered a rat king of 16 rats. Now, one of his neighbors, his name was Johann, took them to paint a picture, but instead exhibited them to the public for a price. And Kaiser went and took him to court. That's right.
Caller.
Thank you. At the tribunal, a doctor tried to disentangle the creatures and reported they were not one organism, but 16 different rats of different size and coloration, different ages, and sex. 15. Now, how this happened, they haven't been able to figure it. 15 had their tails knotted together in a large knot in such a manner that most tails were completely in the knot except for 1 or 2 inches near their bodies. And the 16th tail was wrapped around another rat's back. Now, we're moving forward to 1822. In Dolstedt, farmhands were hearing all kinds of noise from barn rafters. They found a similar rat wheel in a cluster of rats in a large straw-lined depression from one of the within one of the beams. Do you know what? They separated. They got them out. They were on the ground, and they found them in two groups, one of 14 and the other of 28. Now, they didn't allow the rats to live, but how in the world did those tails get plated together? How in the world did this happen? Do you know what? They found the same thing occurred in 1828 in Buchheim. 30 of them. That's right. In a miller's chimney. And in 1564 and 1963. That's right. 57 rat kings. This is amazing stuff. Why does this stuff happen? Who knows? Amazing things. We've got a caller on the line. Let's go to our caller, and thank you, caller, for being so patient. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Joni, calling in from Tempe, Arizona.
Hi, Joni. Well, I know you're percolating down there.
And with rain.
All right. Joni, when I'm watching you in my mind, I want to say be very thoughtful about choosing your words, because there is a button being pushed inside of you emotionally and mentally. It's triggering some old files, and there's a defensive mental positioning that I'm seeing you taking, and I really am quite surprised at this, because you're such a disciplined person, and I'm wondering if maybe you're stretching yourself too thinly relative to activities, and I want you to really do an assessment of what your priorities are, and then focus. Don't have more than three at any given time. Focus so that button within you that could spur an emotional response to someone's unintelligent comment, you really want to be alert as to how you use your words, because I'm seeing an argumentative type of an environment. I don't know who you're around, and I'm actually seeing 1, 2, 3, 4 people, and I'm seeing one person standing up. It looks like you're someplace where there's a table, and there's some kind of a small display that's up, and this one person appears to be a man, and he's the type of individual, he thinks out loud, so he walks and he talks and he's thinking, but he's not thinking. He is thinking, but he's not being perceptive about how his words are coming out. So it's going to be perceived by you as something that just isn't cool, and I can't blame you for wanting to pound him over the head with a paddle of some kind, because it's like, wake up, you're not hearing what I'm saying. But you have to understand that this person does not think like you do. So you need to listen to what they're saying, even make little notes for yourself, take a deep breath, a sip of ice water or something that'll ground you before you respond. In fact, before you'd respond, I would say, think questions you would like to ask this. Think of questions you would like to ask this person. Now, Joni, I know we're going on a break. Will you stay with me and I will come back afterwards?
Thank you, yes.
All right, Joni. Stay with me. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime, or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about how science and spirituality are beginning to dovetail. And I know that you'll enjoy my conversation with Dennis Kingsley, who is located in Spain. So let's go back to Joni in Tempe, Arizona. Joni, let me just finish what I was saying to you. If you respond to this person who has this patterning of talking out loud, I'm not seeing the other individual saying very much. And if there's criticism, what I'd like for you to do is to consider an approach. Make your notes about his comments and then go back after he's finished. Don't interrupt him. Just let him expound, and he'll go on and on and on. But then go back afterwards and say, am I clear? Do you have concerns about point number one? Am I being clear on that? And what you want to do is feed back his commentary in the form of questioning. What that will give you is insight into how he thinks, because his experience is really limited in certain areas. What you're going to discover is that he doesn't know that he doesn't know. I think that sounds a little weird, but he really doesn't. And so his area of expertise is in certain areas. So what you want to do is sort of feed that foundation that is going to give him a sense of confidence in your expertise. And no ums or does or well, you know, no pauses, no big pauses. This is a guy, you come back, you ask the questions, and then say, let me respond to some of this. Now that I have the clarity. And then you'll find the body language is not so stiff on his part. He's going to have a very rigid body language. So once he's expounded, then that body rigidness is going to disappear. And then you can go in and address certain components that he has expressed a concern about and an ignorance about. Once you address that, then what you're going to be able to do is say, I don't have information on this, but I will be happy to get that for you. I can tell you about this. And I'm so glad you gave me this information, because it's allowing me now to see how I can adapt to what it is that you need. So that I really think you are growing into a whole new level of communication, whoever this grouping of people, whoever they are, you are going to find that you're going to be able to communicate with them in a way and manner that's going to be surprising. And apparently, even though there are other individuals in this room, this dude is the leader. It's as if this guy says green and you try to say scarlet, forget it. It's not going to work. Everybody's going to block you out. But when you start asking questions, making sure you understand certain things and getting it, and maybe even saying, well, you've asked me some points. I just don't know that I have the right information for you. How about if we reschedule, give me a day, maybe you need two. How about if I reschedule so that I can look at what it is you specifically need? So it's something that I think is really going to work for you. What's your question for me, Joni?
Wow, you've answered.
I'm so glad.
I'm in the middle of this. This is what I'm struggling with. And
all right.
You're picking
just
up
understand.
The arena.
Yeah, don't go to war over this. This isn't worth it. It's not you're the good guy, they're the bad guy. Not at all. It is a difference in thinking. So it's an expansion with communication. Now, on some areas, you'll need to be very specific. You can say, this is black, this is white. This is what the need is as I'm perceiving it. Is that correct? But you need the clarity. Because you've got one person that's the leader here, not the rest of the individuals. They're not. They're the followers. This person is in a position of being perceived as the leader, but they do not have the knowledge. They do not know that they do not know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that's making sense.
Perfect sense.
Good. I think you can win this. I don't think it's a matter of looking, and I think also the trust that you establish with these people is going to give you some good references. That's what you need to remember.
Okay.
All right, my dear. You have a wonderful, wonderful summer.
Thank you. That's ideally what I aim for, though, establishing a trust.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Joni. Thank you for calling in, and again, have a magnificent summer. This is Donna Siebel, and my, how time flies by. I just love doing this show and talking with you and also being able to bring wonderful people to the table. Now, I got an email from a gentleman by the name of Lon who said, Donna, I've got this chicken recipe that's absolutely wonderful. He said, it's baked fried chicken. And he said, I've tried it, my friends have tried it, and they love it. So I said, okay, I'm going to share it. Now, this is so easy. You take chicken breasts, the skinless chicken breasts, and what you do, you put them in a bowl and cover them with milk. Now, I use buttermilk when I do this. Buttermilk, what it does, it actually changes the molecular structure and creates a moisture with chicken that's just fabulous. Now, this is the recipe. So you can use milk or buttermilk is even better. And what you're going to do, put into a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. And by the way, chicken as much as you want. I'd say start off with a pound and experiment with it. But he said take a half a teaspoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of Seasonal, 3/4 of a teaspoon of pepper, and 1 cup of flour or 2 teaspoons of paprika. Now, this is his recipe, and you just put that in a plastic bag and shake it up, and it's all mixed. Now, what you will do, because the chicken, it's good if you do this with the chicken, the milk with the chicken, put it in overnight and just let it soak. You take and preheat your oven to 400 degrees and use some nonstick cooking spray, and you take it after it has been marinating in the milk, and then put it in this mixture and just shake it up. You can buy boxes of seasoned mix with the breadcrumbs and all this stuff. Well, this is just another version of that. And put it in the pan, a 9x13 pan. And if you want, you can put a little bit of butter in there or olive oil. And then chicken, after it's the milk's been shaken off of it, dipped into the flour composite, and then put in the oven, and you just go ahead and bake it for 15 minutes at 400 degrees, turn it over after 15 minutes, the pieces of chicken in there, and that's great. But I'll tell you something that's even better. Use some Parmesan cheese instead of the flour. Yum. This is Donna Sebo. We've got all kinds of tips to share with you. Good things, good stories about good people. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful day. Join me tomorrow. Look forward to sharing some more time and some more good information. Life is a gift. Savor it. Enjoy it. It's yours to live to its fullest. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.